Welcome back to another episode of the Ally from Corporate podcast. I'm your host, Ally, and I have my co-host, Rico, who's also my husband. Hello.
What's up, everybody?
What's up, honey?
How you doing?
You guys know this podcast is all about people who want to move up in the corporate game, people who want to learn lessons that we've learned or that our guests have learned, learn about different career paths, just how to grow in general and working in business. You're in the right place. This is the podcast for you. Today is going to be a fun episode because, Rico, I have an idea that I think could solve a huge problem in the hiring game. Do you want to hear what it is?
Let's hear it.
So, first, the problem. Have you heard that there's a lot of people applying to jobs and a lot of them are not qualified for the job?
Yes, heard that.
I've heard that too. I mean, I have recruiter friends and career coaches who say that they're seeing 1,000 applications and zero are qualified for the role, and they have to re-upload the job posting to get more applicants. So my idea, my crazy little idea is, what if you had to pay $1 for every job application you submitted?
I do like it if the money goes to the right people or charity. So it'd be great if the company wouldn't get that, because then they're just going to spam a bunch of job posting and then it'd be a business in itself.
Interesting idea.
But if the company doesn't get any money and the website's not really making any money, but the money goes, that dollar goes to a charity of your choosing, then that would make it like morally pretty sweet. And you can say for every dollar, it will go to the homeless shelter, pet friend, you know, like Pets and Friends or whatever, all these charities are out there.
That is a great idea. I didn't think of, who's going to get the money, because we know as much as anybody that if you want to know where corruption goes, follow the dollar bills. But do you think, so it's the same, okay, they donated to charity. Do you think this would make people think twice about the spray and pray method, which is, oh my gosh, I'm looking for a job. I'm so desperate for work. I would take the first offer that comes and I'm going to apply for every single job I can find.
100%. That would actually eliminate most of that, because you got to be qualified, read through it before you submit it, because you don't want to waste money. But if you do waste money, it goes to charity, so it'd be pretty damn sweet.
I agree. Who doesn't like donating a dollar to charity?
Yeah.
And in my experience with what's working for people that are actually getting jobs in this crazy job market we're in is having really high quality, thoughtful, detailed, robust applications, and not just applying with the same resume to every job, but really like applying for a job, then networking with the people who might interview you, submitting a project portfolio for that job, posting on LinkedIn about what makes you qualified for roles like that. Like, that's what I'm seeing is working. So I feel like it would not only help recruiters because they would have a smaller pile of resumes to go through, but it would also help job seekers because it's not a numbers game. It's a high quality application game, not high quantity.
Yeah, exactly right. Very interesting concept, you know?
Have you ever heard of anybody doing this, charging money for a job application?
No, because my problem that I would see is that people just go through the website and apply on the website.
No, that's where you charge.
No. You mean you would have the company listing and then you charge $1 at checkout and that will go to charity.
Yeah, what were you thinking? That LinkedIn would do this?
Yeah, that LinkedIn would do it. But that doesn't work that great. But I like that idea where the company would charge, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it might help this applicant tracking system issue too, where ATS systems, you know, those like software tools that screen resumes to make sure that you're kind of closely matching the job description. And if you're not, it just sends you an auto rejection email. I think sometimes companies fine tune those ATS screens a little too much and they filter out candidates that would be qualified.
But then when the money goes to the company, they might not donate it, you know? So there needs to be a third party. It's almost like you need an API that actually will take the money so the company doesn't get doesn't touch the money, and then it goes directly to charity. You know, it needs to be like a third party,
like
that you
escrow.
Just, yeah, just like where you just do the, where you just pay the dollar and it goes to charity.
What if you got the dollar back if the company rejected you later on?
No, because then you can, no, that's not going to work, because then you just send it anyways. Then you have the same problem.
Or what if it gave you the dollar back if you got the job? That's silly, though. Who needs a dollar?
Yeah.
Or no, do people need a dollar right now?
It could be 25 cents. It could be 25 cents. It's just so you don't just click that easy apply on LinkedIn. And then in a matter of like 10 minutes, I get like 5,000 applications, you know?
Yeah. I want to know, anybody who's watching this on YouTube or listening, have you ever been successful in clicking easy apply and getting that job? Like, that is the most minimal amount of effort I have ever seen for applying for jobs. And I'm pretty sure that that doesn't work.
I'm interested, because they have it. So there must have been some sort of success, right?
Not necessarily. You have a lot of faith in product development teams. No, not necessarily.
Let me say it this way. There needs to be a feedback loop that said that this is a good idea. And there had to be some kind of thing that we need this. Let's implement this. So there had to be a conversation and implementation, you know?
True. Okay. Yeah. And I've worked with a lot of people at LinkedIn. They seem like a very organized group of people. The nano course people, you know, the LinkedIn learning people, like, they're very organized. You know what I also like, and I'm getting on a little bit of a tangent right now, but you know what I also like about LinkedIn employees that I've done deals with? They take PTO all the time. Yeah. Every other email I send to somebody, a contact at LinkedIn, they're like, it's like an automatic message. I'm on PTO till the 23rd. Please contact blah, blah, blah. I love that for them. They all seem very calm. Nobody's stressed. Nobody's in a bad mood. So, little side
note. Microsoft, right?
Microsoft? What about Microsoft?
They own the company. They own LinkedIn.
That's right.
They own. So it's kind of Microsoft philosophy governing LinkedIn, right?
What do you know about Microsoft philosophy?
That they take PTO very seriously.
Yeah, and they don't like remote workers, because they can't advance in the company if you're a remote worker there.
I thought it was Dell.
Oh, you're right. It is Dell.
I thought that
okay,
was
I'm
Dell.
Getting confused, but we're also getting off topic here. Okay, so you know who I would love to hear their opinion on this dollar for a resume idea? Our guest speaker this week in the community.
Yes.
Ellie Hochman. She's so cool. So she is I believe she's a part-time recruiter. She's also one of my favorite career coaches. I love her style. And she is going to speak in our private community's guest speaker spot this week, which anybody is welcome to join for free to get a little taste of our private community. Send me a DM on any platform and I'll send you the Zoom link. It's 2 to 3 p.m. every Thursday. We have a different guest. This week is job search week. And so we are having Ellie Hochman come and talk to us about what recruiters really look for. You look distracted. What are you looking at?
I was thinking about sending her a DM, telling her, hey, what do you think about this idea? You know?
No. Let's spring it on her. Come on. I want to see her gut reaction.
Okay, so,
or is that not fair? Some people don't appreciate that.
No, I think you can ask her. You're like, what if we had a symbolic price? You know, it could be 25 cents or something. But I just spaced out and thought, should I shoot her a DM right now? Be like, yo, what do you think?
You look like you were drifting off in space, thinking about your YouTube analytics.
Yeah, that's been going. I see the video. The views count was like 101, 102.
By the way, I want to congratulate you just publicly. You are killing it on YouTube.
Thanks.
Your channel is about what exactly?
So in my header, it says job market and finance.
Okay, but what's it really about?
Whatever I feel like talking about.
And I love your style. Like, you've been getting thousands of views on your videos and you make one every day. You're so diligent about it. And you just got a new camera. Do you have it around? You can hold it up?
No, I don't have it. It's being charged, but it's a DJI.
So what did you, Tell us about your style of filming, and we're getting wildly off topic, but whatever. It's my podcast. I can do what I want. Tell me about what camera you just got, and then like your style of filming.
So I used a DJI Osmo 3. It's a really cool camera. And so I just read about it, and, you know, I need to be out and about walking every day. You know, everybody should be walking every day. So I just come up with some topic that people ask me questions, and I just walk and talk about what I think, and I spark conversations with other people. And if I can influence 10 people and they can influence 10 people, it's like a whole network of a bunch of influence people that are going to better their finances, that are going to spend money in the community, in their local community. That's what I'm like. Number one thing I want people to take away is, like, don't give money to big corporations. You know, like, don't go to Starbucks when you're not on a road trip. Go to your local coffee shop if you have one nearby to support them. You know, they'd be super appreciative.
I love that. And I, while you were talking, I was thinking, like, okay, I'm going to ask him next, like, what is one piece of advice, piece of unsolicited advice you want to give people? But you just gave it. So
yeah,
keep because the money in your circle.
We bought a board game from down the road. There was, like, this little mom and pop shop. And it's like, and I looked at the price. You know, I'm always curious, you know, the markup on it. Just because, you know, like, I love doing YouTube videos. So I'm like, you know, what's the price difference? And on Amazon, you can get them for $29 and we bought it for $49.
I'm happy to give that guy.
Yes.
He was such a cool business owner. There were people playing games in his game store. He knew every game. We told him what we were looking for. He recommended us Wingspan. If anybody listening has played that, let me know how you like it. We love it. It's fun.
Yeah. So that's like what I'm talking about, you know, like, as us as business owners, you know, like, what we look out for when we had to do layoffs, when we had to, you know, entrepreneurship and whatnot.
Yep.
So for most people, that's not in their, you know, they're not thinking about it. They're just like, oh my gosh, I'm being let go. But there's a bigger overarching theme that they need to take into consideration.
Yeah. Your small community's economics.
Yeah.
I really like your channel because you described it one way to me as living the American dream the Swiss way.
Pretty much. That's
and I love when I met you, like, I feel like I had such a toxic relationship with money and debt, and you helped me. You know, Switzerland is, like, notorious for being neutral and good at finance. You helped me be both of those things after we got married, and you helped me see money more as, like, a tool rather than a good thing or a bad thing. And you also helped me see how people can use debt for good.
Yeah. Like,
to make money. So I love your channel. I watch your videos.
I know you do. You comment on it. I appreciate that.
Sometimes I comment and I'm like, oh, are you single?
No, it's, you know, like, I'm all about, like, I tell people on YouTube to, you know, to shop in their local communities, you know? And I feel like, if we're circling back to that, you know, to that $1 resume, that money should go back into your community. You know, it shouldn't go towards a bigger corporation. It should go to smaller business owners, you know, or franchisee people that just want to experience American dream or are trying to make it.
Yeah.
And I feel like if we keep shopping at Amazon, and, you know, we all do it, it's so convenient, you know, I feel like we're robbing these small business owners. We're stealing money out of our community, and then Amazon takes that money, takes a percentage, and spends it in a way that you and I might not be okay with, you know, like, spends it on ads, political campaigns, lobbying. Yeah.
I have a question. So hang on a minute. Couldn't somebody who's doing drop shipping on Amazon, couldn't they be considered a small business in your community?
Yes, they could. But when you look at who's selling on Amazon, it's mostly not. Let me ask you this. How many people do you know that consistently make money from it?
Just Roz. Roz is the only one. She's killing it.
Person, right?
Yeah. Roz, if you're listening, we're proud of you. Yeah, I don't know anybody else who's successful doing it.
Yeah, but besides, you know, besides her, she just sells that one item. And I'm not talking about just, like, one item.
Like a shop.
There's like these big shops on that, like, price, you know, the price, you know, they compete with the price. And even Ross told me, like, there's other things on there, you know, there's other competitors that can offer it at a lower price. It's just a different rebranding. And yeah, that's a huge corporation that does it.
Okay, so those are not people in our community that we should be supporting, unless it is a friend that you know who's got an Amazon shop.
Yeah, yeah. But most people, you know, like, if you go to that guy that has the store, you know, where we bought the game from, he's, if you buy something from him, he has employees, he has, you know, he's paying taxes on the store, yeah, you know, he has employment, payroll taxes and everything. So, you know, it's going back, the money's going back into our own pockets.
Yeah. I want to give him a shout out. I'm looking him up right now. I want to give him a shout out on this podcast because I really did like his store. And I'm trying to find the name of it. And it is Shall We Play in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So it's on Norman Rockwell Lane in Las Vegas. It's a game store called Shall We Play, the Games and More store. Super cool business. If you're in Vegas, or if you're coming to Vegas and you don't just want to drink your face off for the weekend, consider stopping at that guy's shop, buying a game and having fun with your friends at your Airbnb. Cool.
Okay. That video is not number one. Number one.
For anybody listening and watching, this is basically what Ryoko and I conversations are like every day. I forgot we're recording, actually.
Number one out of 10.
You're doing so good.
I thought it would be number one. Then I was like freaking out a little bit, you know?
And I love it. So go check out Ryoko on YouTube if you're into finance and job market stuff. And if you're not, don't check him out because we don't want to mess with the algorithm. We've learned that YouTube is very good at picking who watches your videos. So let's end this party. I got some focaccia bread to put in the oven.
Sweet. And this is a great episode. Let me know what you think.
All right, everybody. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.
For years, Minky Couture has been donating blankets to NICUs across the country. Owner Sandy Henry's grandson was born at 30 weeks, and she placed a mini blanket in her grandson's incubator. We want to help other NICU families with the Heart of Minky program. For every adult-sized blanket purchased, Minky Couture will donate a mini-sized blanket to NICUs across the nation. Thanks to you, we can fulfill our dream to blanket the world.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.